Welcome to the IBCLC Mentor Podcast, where real-world lactation cases and theoretical scenarios come to life. I'm Margaret Salty, your host, and a dedicated IBCLC with passion for guiding the next generation of lactation consultants. Whether you're a student or new to the field, this podcast is designed to equip you with the knowledge and confidence you need to excel in your practice. Welcome to the IBCLC Mentor Podcast. I'm Margaret Salty, your host, and today we're tackling an important topic for all lactation consultants, the WHO code. If you've heard of it but aren't sure what it covers, what it doesn't, or how it applies to your practice, you're not alone. This episode is your comprehensive guide to the WHO International Code of Marketing of Breast Milk Substitutes, what it is, how it supports breastfeeding, and how you can stay compliant as an IBCLC. Let's dive in. Hey there, future IBCLCs. Are you ready to conquer the IBCLC exam with confidence? If so, I've got something amazing for you. The IBCLC Exam Mastery Course, opening January 1st. This course is designed just for you, aspiring lactation consultants, ready to take your passion and turn it into certification success. With engaging modules, practice questions, and comprehensive study guides, you'll gain the knowledge, strategies, and confidence you need to ace the IBCLC exam. And here's the best part. I'm so confident in this course that I guarantee your success or your money back. That's right. There's zero risk, only results. Doors open January 1st and space is limited. So mark your calendars and get ready to invest in your future as an IBCLC. Visit margaretsalty.com/courses to take the first step towards your certification. The IBCLC Exam Mastery Course, because your success starts here. The WHO code, the International Code of Marketing of Breast Milk Substitutes, was adopted by the World Health Assembly in 1981. Its purpose is straightforward: to protect breastfeeding by regulating how breast milk substitutes are marketed. Why is it necessary? Before the code, formula companies aggressively marketed their products, creating a culture where breastfeeding was undervalued and formula was positioned as superior. These practices disproportionately harmed vulnerable populations, contributing to poor breastfeeding rates and serious health consequences for mothers and babies. The code aims to prevent unethical marketing that undermines breastfeeding while ensuring that families who need formula have accurate information to make informed decisions. While the purpose of the code is straightforward, interpreting the code in today's world is less straightforward. Let me explain. When the WHO code was written in 1981, the global breastfeeding landscape was shaped by complex social, economic, and cultural factors. Aggressive marketing by formula companies had a significant impact on breastfeeding practices, leading to widespread concerns about infant health, maternal well-being, and public health in general. In the mid-20th century, breastfeeding rates were declining globally, particularly in industrialized countries and urban areas of developing countries. Formula companies heavily promoted their products as modern, convenient, and superior to breast milk, often targeting healthcare providers, hospitals, and parents. Formula was advertised as being as good as or better than breast milk, despite lacking the immunological and nutritional benefits of breast milk. Companies marketed formula aggressively in low and middle income countries, often to mothers who lacked clean water for safe preparation, leading to increased infant morbidity and mortality. The decline in breastfeeding had severe consequences for infant health. In developing countries, formula-fed infants were at higher risk of diarrhea, malnutrition, and infections due to unsafe water and poor sanitation. The marketing of formula exacerbated existing inequalities, highlighting the role of commercial marketing in undermining child health, By the 1970s, concerns about the harmful impact of formula marketing practices sparked global advocacy. In response to these trends, the WHO Code of Marketing of Breast Milk Substitutes was drafted to address unethical marketing practices and promote breastfeeding as the best source of nutrition for infants. The code aimed to halt the decline in breastfeeding by regulating marketing, protecting families from commercial pressures, and ensuring breastfeeding remained a public health priority. It emphasized breastfeeding as the normal and optimal feeding method for infants, with formula being a necessary but secondary option when breastfeeding was not possible. So what exactly does the WHO code say? Let me break it down. The primary focus is around marketing. As it says in the name, this means that companies cannot advertise breast milk substitutes, feeding bottles, or teats directly to the public. This includes the prohibition of free samples. Parents and healthcare workers should not receive free samples or supplies of formula, as this can unduly influence feeding choices. There should be no gifts or sponsorships. Healthcare providers, including IBCLCs, should not accept gifts, sponsorships, or funding from companies that market products covered by the code. There should be accurate labeling. Breast milk substitutes must be labeled with clear, non-promotional information about their proper use and the risks of formula feeding. There should be no promotion in healthcare settings. Hospitals and clinics should not display branded formula posters, distribute free formula, or allow marketing materials from formula companies. Bottles and nipples are included in the WHO Code of Marketing of Breast Milk Substitutes because their marketing and use can undermine breastfeeding, even if they're not directly categorized as substitutes for breast milk. The inclusion of bottles and nipples in the WHO code reflects the potential to interfere with successful breastfeeding, particularly when marketed aggressively. By addressing these products alongside breast milk substitutes, the code aims to create an environment where breastfeeding is protected, promoted, and supported as the biological and public health norm. This approach helps families make feeding choices that prioritize infant health and maternal well-being. So I want to expand a little bit about the bottles. So when this code was written in 1981, access to breast pumps was scant. There were very little breast pumps available on the market. And it was almost a given that if a mother was using a bottle, it contained formula, not breast milk, because it was rare that a mom had the ability, apart from using her hands, to express her milk into a bottle for a baby. So that is really sort of the underlying piece of that. It's important to understand the scope of the code and what it does not cover as well. The code is not about banning formula or saying that it should never be used. Instead, it focuses solely on how formula and related products are marketed. This means families who need formula can and should access it safely. Healthcare providers, including IBCLCs, can educate parents on formula use when necessary, provided they do so without endorsing specific brands. The code also doesn't regulate the practice of breastfeeding support itself, but establishes ethical guidelines for professionals to follow. The WHO code has a specific focus on regulating the marketing of breast milk substitutes, feeding bottles, and teats to protect and promote breastfeeding. Here are some specific things that the WHO code does not cover. The WHO code does not explicitly regulate the marketing of breast pumps, nipple shields, or other lactation aids. While these tools can play a vital role in supporting breastfeeding, especially for mothers who are separated from their babies or who have other challenges, they fall outside the scope of the code. Why? Because these products are not considered substitutes for breastfeeding, but are tools to facilitate it. Companies can legally market breast pumps and similar items to the public, but IBCLC should still evaluate any partnerships with companies offering these products to ensure their practices align with professional ethics. The next thing that the WHO code does not cover is nutritional supplements for mothers. The code does not address the marketing of supplements, vitamins, or nutrition products intended for lactating mothers. These products are marketed directly to mothers as ways to enhance milk supply or improve maternal nutrition. While these products are not covered, it is essential to guide parents with evidence-based information and avoid endorsing specific brands unless the evidence strongly supports their use. The third thing that the code does not cover are baby care products. While the code regulates the marketing of feeding bottles and teats, it does not address other baby care products, such as pacifiers, diapers, or general feeding accessories that are not explicitly marketed as substitutes for breastfeeding. Be cautious about promotional materials or partnerships that involve baby care products, as these companies may also market breast milk substitutes. The fourth thing that the WHO code does not cover are food products for older infants for complementary feeding. The code primarily focuses on breastfeeding and infants under 6 months of age. While it encourages continued breastfeeding alongside complementary foods for up to 2 years or beyond, it does not regulate how complementary foods for older infants are marketed. Marketing practices for baby cereals, snacks, and purees aimed at older infants are not strictly governed by the code, although misleading claims about their necessity for younger infants can undermine breastfeeding efforts. The fifth thing not covered by the code are breastfeeding support services. The code does not regulate breastfeeding support services offered by professional organizations. It focuses on marketing practices related to products, not the services designed to encourage and assess breastfeeding. While lactation support services are exempt, they must remain ethical and unbiased, particularly if they involve collaborations with companies that market products covered by the code. The final thing not covered by the code are general healthcare products and pharmaceuticals. Medications and general healthcare products, even those used by breastfeeding mothers, are not within the scope of the code unless they are directly marketed as substitutes for breastfeeding. So what does this mean for IBCLCs in practice? While the WHO code is a powerful tool for regulating unethical marketing practices, it is not all-encompassing. Here's how you can navigate these gaps. First, you want to maintain awareness of ethical practices. Even if a product or service is not covered by the code, it's essential to evaluate whether promoting or using it aligns with the ethical principles of lactation support. Next, you want to educate families. Provide clear evidence-based guidance on the use of breast pumps, lactation aids, or complementary feeding practices without appearing to endorse specific products or brands. Review partnerships carefully. Collaborations with companies that market products not covered by the code, such as breast pump manufacturers, should still align with the IBCLC Code of Professional Conduct. Now let's talk about how you, as an IBCLC, can ensure that you're adhering to the WHO code in your daily practice. First, avoid industry ties. Don't accept gifts, scholarships, or samples from companies that violate the code. Even attending conferences or webinars sponsored by these companies can create a conflict of interest. You should remain unbiased. When counseling families about feeding options, stick to evidence-based neutral language. For example, provide guidance on safe formula preparation without promoting specific brands. Educate without endorsing. If a parent asks about formula, give them accurate evidence-based information while emphasizing that breastfeeding, if possible, offers unique benefits. Practice ethical marketing. Ensure your practice doesn't inadvertently promote products covered by the code. For example, avoid partnerships with companies that market bottles, teats, or formula. Let's talk about why compliance matters so much. First, adhering to the WHO code helps protect breastfeeding, which is foundational to the health and well-being of mothers and babies. Second, when IBCLCs align their practice with the code, it builds trust with families and reinforces our role as breastfeeding advocates, not as salespeople for products. And then finally, by staying compliant, We uphold the integrity of the IBCLC profession and contribute to public health efforts to improve breastfeeding rates worldwide. Since its adoption, countries worldwide have taken various steps to implement the code's provisions into national legislation. As of recent assessments, 84 countries have enacted laws incorporating all or many of the code's provisions and subsequent relevant World Health Assembly resolutions. Some countries have implemented certain aspects of the code, focusing on specific provisions such as labeling requirements or restrictions on advertising, but may not have fully integrated all recommendations. Other nations, like the United States, have yet to adopt the code into their legal frameworks, resulting in minimal to no regulation of breast milk substitute marketing practices. Even among countries with legislation, effectiveness of enforcement can vary, leading to ongoing violations of the code's principles. The baby food industry's adherence to the code has been inconsistent, with reports of continued aggressive marketing tactics, especially in regions lacking robust legal measures. Organizations such as the World Health Organization, UNICEF, and the International Baby Food Action Network actively monitor and support the implementation of the code globally. They provide guidance to governments and advocate for stronger policies to protect breastfeeding practices. While significant progress has been made since the WHO code's inception, the degree of adoption and enforcement varies across countries. Ongoing efforts are essential to ensure comprehensive implementation, thereby safeguarding breastfeeding and promoting optimal infant nutrition worldwide. While the United States has not adopted the code and rampant marketing and promotion of breast milk substitutes occur, if you're an IBCLC, you're still required to uphold the code, and hospitals that have been designated baby friendly also are required to uphold the code. The WHO code isn't just a guideline. It's a commitment to ethical practice and the families we serve. Take a moment to reflect on your practice. Are there areas where you could strengthen your adherence to the code, whether it's reevaluating the events you attend or the materials you share? Small steps can make a big difference. I encourage you to read the WHO code and familiarize yourself with the IBCLC Code of Professional Conduct, which closely aligns with it. Together, we can ensure that our work as IBCLC supports breastfeeding in the most ethical, family-centered way possible. I will post links in the show notes to the WHO code document, the IBCLC Code of Professional Conduct, and other tools for ethical decision-making in practice. Thanks so much for tuning in to the IBCLC Mentor Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this podcast with your colleagues. Let's continue to grow together as ethical, evidence-based lactation professionals. Until next time, take care and keep making a difference. Bye, everybody. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe, and check me out on social media at Margaret Salty.